And tonight we're going to be in Proverbs 13, verses 7 to 12. We're in the section that started at chapter 10, the first section of Proverbs, the My Son section, chapters 1 to 9, where Solomon says, "My son, listen to me." And there are these lengthy grammatical sections. When you come to chapter 10, you actually get into these proverbs and these individual proverbs, and most of them are antithetic, which means they make a statement, then the opposite statement in the proverb to make a point. And we're in that section, in chapter 13, verses 7 to 12. And before we look at this tonight, let's bow and look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for those who are here tonight. We pray your blessing on our time. We pray that you give us wisdom as we go through this great, wise book of Proverbs. And we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this past week, I was asked by Mary to go get 30 bags of mulch. So I went to the store, and I got 30 bags of mulch, but in the process of counting the bags that I was loading in the truck, when I got home, I realized I had 31 bags of mulch. Now, I need to come clean of this tonight because Jim said if I didn't, he'd turn me in. He said, "You go right back to that store, or you can go to prison. Take what they have come to you." And I did. I went back to the store, and I told them I somehow miscounted. I'm a Bible student. I'm not a mathematician. And somehow my numbers got twisted. So I went back and told them I miscalculated. And I want you to know this story. And by the way, they gave me the extra bag for being honest, if you want to know how the story ended. And they said they couldn't believe somebody was honest enough to do that. So there, Jim, there you go. But that reminds me of a program I saw one time about shoplifting. And one of the things that the show demonstrated is that how easy it is for a polished shoplifter to steal. And to illustrate the point, the producers wanted to see if it was possible for someone to go into this place and steal a piano. And one repentant thief said he'd take the challenge. They hit a camera to see whether or not it would be possible to actually go into the store and actually walk out of the store with a piano. So he and another man walked into the store. They walk straight to the piano. They grab hold of it. They start for the door. Everybody in the music store assumed that they just had a right to the piano, assumed they were legitimate, assumed they knew what they were doing. They took that piano right out. They loaded it in the truck. After they got the piano out of the store and on the truck, they took it back in and they confessed to what they had just done. And then they returned the piano to the original location. When the star shoplifter was interviewed after his triumph, he was asked, "What's the secret to doing this?" And he said, "You just have to pretend that you know what you're doing when you're doing it. And if you do that," he said, "9 out of 10 times, you can get away with it." Now, pretending pretending to be something that one isn't has been a game that can be played in many arenas of life. Some will pretend to be rich when they're not. Some people will pretend to be scholarly when they're not. Some will pretend to be honest when they're not. But the most dangerous game of all is to pretend to be spiritual when one really isn't. A person who plays a pretend game of spirituality is one who is heading for a serious day before the Lord. In fact, that will be the day when God will make an honest, judgmental, evaluative decision as to a person standing for all eternity. Now, as we come tonight to this section of Scripture in the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verses 7 to 12, Solomon is interested that wise people not be pretenders. He did not want people who are wise to pretend to be anything. He wanted them to be what they are. And he wanted people to be able to say what you see is the way it really is, and don't be a pretender. And that's really what he's teaching in this section of Scripture, that a truly wise, honest, righteous person will eventually end up with a joyful, blessed, and rich existence, but a pretender will suffer great loss. Now, Solomon has been making it very clear that just as an honest person is wise and heading toward blessings and honor, so the pretender is heading to swift destruction. Now, there are six key subjects I want you to see in this passage of Scripture tonight. Number one, some people are pretenders. Look at verse 7. "There is one who pretends to be rich, but has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, but has great wealth." Now, what's interesting about the verbs pretend, some say maketh himself, but it's actually the verb pretend. It's in the hitpael stem in Hebrew, which simply means that the action is done for the benefit of self. In other words, there are people who pretend because they think it's going to benefit them. The action of pretending is self-inflicted. One person pretends to be rich. That is, he pretends that he is wealthy, he's prosperous and happy. The truth of the matter is, he wasn't. He didn't have much of anything. He wasn't wealthy, he wasn't prosperous, he wasn't happy, but he was a pretender. What he was actually pretending to be was non-existent. He felt that it would benefit himself if he played this game of pretend. The other person pretended to be poor, and this person pretended to be one with having great needs, but the truth concerning that person is that he had great wealth and he had great comfort. In fact, the adjective that is used there for great is a word in Hebrew that indicates he had a large, vast amount of wealth to the level that he could actually rave about it. Apparently, the rich person thought that it would benefit him if he pretended to be poor, and the poor person thought that it would benefit him if he would pretend to be rich. The truth of the matter is, in the mind of God, both were losers because both were pretenders. Both are coloring truth. Both are doing things that go against the grain of what's right and righteous. I'm sure all of us can cite examples of that. I know of someone who is in our family who's a known pretender. They make a whole lot of money and they pretend they're poor. Now when we say we don't have money to do it, what we mean is we don't have money to do it. When they say they don't have money to do it, what they mean is they don't want to go and take the money to do it, but they actually have a whole lot of it there. It's just they don't want to tap into it. And they're pretending to be something that they aren't. Dr. McGee said that a number of years ago he saw a person in his church in Pasadena, California, who was a very wealthy, wealthy man who pretended when it came to giving and projects in the church that he didn't have much of anything. He said, the truth of the matter is, he said, I knew people in the church who were far better givers than this man who was sitting on a huge bank account. He had more money than everybody else. He said he was absolutely hypocritical. He was a pretender. Now, God does not view one as being wise who pretends. In fact, God is not going to view one as being one he will bless if he is a pretender. And if you want to see an illustration of a church that became known as being a church that could pretend, look at Laodicea. The Laodiceans in the church of Revelation were pretending to be spiritual. They were pretending to be rich. They said, we have need of nothing. God has blessed us because of all the money we have. And yet God said, I'll spit you out of your mouth. They must have thought that they were really benefiting themselves by giving this pretension to people that they were really right with the Lord when in fact they were heading to judgment. And one of the greatest areas that you never want to pretend in is in the area of spirituality. Those who pretend in that arena will discover there will be very negative consequences. So don't fall into the trap of being a pretender. And this trap is easy to fall into. Would you minister in this capacity? Would you help out in this ministry? Oh, I can't. I'm too busy. You're not too busy. You're pretending. It isn't real. We need to be people who are real. We need to be people who are honest and open to the leading of the Spirit of God. Never do we want to be classified as pretenders, because that's the mark of a fool. The second subject is some people are truly wealthy and some people are truly poor. Verse 8, the ransom of a man's life is his wealth, but the poor hears no rebuke. Now, this is a real difficult, tricky proverb, and there are many that say the meaning of this proverb is that a rich man would end up in danger of having to pay some ransom price for his life. That's what the first part of verse 8 says. And a poor person, on the other hand, would never stand in danger of having a ransom be a threat to him. But the problem is, if you carefully notice the second part of the verse, but the poor man hears, or the poor hears no rebuke, it doesn't seem to make sense what's being said in the proverb if you're saying that a rich man is one who ultimately might have to pay some ransom price for his life. The word ransom which is a word that's used often in Scripture, is that word for redemption or a price of something being covered. And the word riches, when it says there, the ransom of a man's life is his wealth, that word wealth refers to prosperity and happiness and wealth. The proverb seems to imply that true prosperity and happiness are found in the price of redemption. When the ransom's been paid, then when the ransom's been paid, you have real prosperity and real happiness. Now, the word rebuke that shows up in the second part of the proverb was often used of God rebuking enemies, and it was often used of God actually warning enemies of destruction. What I think Solomon is actually saying there in verse 8 in the context is, a person will never find happiness and wealth, a person will never find real prosperity in life until he's been redeemed, until he's been ransomed, until that price has been paid. On the other hand, a fool, a one who's poor, one who's not heading to blessings, one who's not heading to anything positive in life, will not respond to rebuke. He will not respond to the rebuke of his own need to be redeemed. He will not respond to the rebuke of him needing a ransom to cover his sins. In other words, no matter how much a person has, he will be poor because he will not see the need of the ransom being paid concerning his own life. And I think that is really what Solomon has in his mind here. True wealth is found in redemption in a right relationship with God. But one who's poor, no matter what the person has, will not hear the rebuke of needing redemption. One who's poor will not hear the rebuke of needing life that comes through redemption. And so Solomon's trying to make a point here. Now the third subject is those truly righteous will shine forever. Verse 9. The text reads in Proverbs 13:9, the light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked goes out. Now, this is an interesting proverb. And what's real interesting, if you look carefully at verse 9, is that both the righteous and the wicked shine forth light for a while. The difference is that the light of the righteous will ultimately end up burning brighter and rejoicing and burning forever. The light of the wicked will eventually be extinguished. Now, the word that's used there for light of the righteous is one that talks about a bright light. It shines more and more. It continues to flourish. It's like the dawning of the sun. It comes up and then all of a sudden it gets brighter and brighter and lighter and lighter. The promise is that the person who's living his life in conformity with the Word of God will have a life that lights up like that. The person who's living his or her life in conformity with the Scriptures will discover that his life, her life shines brighter and brighter and brighter. There will be more times of rejoicing, more times of blessing, more times of wonderful things of God. On the other hand, a person who does not live in conformity with the Word of God may shine briefly for a moment, but they'll discover that soon that lamp will be extinguished. I mean, think of Saddam Hussein, who for a short span of time lived as plush an existence as one could live. Look at those palaces that have now been taken over. And just look at some of the things that were in those places. I mean, this man, for a while, appeared to be on top of the world. He appeared to be controlling his part of the world, and in fact did for a short time, but then that was short-lived, and his light went out and is gone. That's what Solomon is teaching here. Solomon's saying, in the end, the one who's pursuing the righteous ways of God will end up rejoicing. The one who's lining up his or her life with the Scriptures of God will end up shining more and more for the glory of God. And when it comes to eternity, eventually all people will know whether or not a person was a real person shining for God or a pretender. In the end, the righteous will reign and shine forever, and they will be known as they were known. They'll be seen as they were seen. They'll be honored by the Lord as it really was. The fourth subject is the source of contentious problems is a proud person, not a wise person. Notice verse 10. Through insolence comes nothing but strife, but wisdom is with those who receive counsel. That word insolence or presumption or pride, depending on your translation, is a word that means arrogance, haughtiness, and a puffed up type of pride. And Solomon is basically saying, it is this that causes problems. It is the puffed up person that is swelled up with pride that only will follow his own mind rather than the word of God that causes strife and arguments and is the root cause of great trouble. The idea is pretty clear to see. An arrogant person who refuses to listen to authority of the word or anyone else becomes the source of contention. There's where the problem is. The person is not willing to submit himself or herself to the righteous word of God or the will of God, and then you've got problems. On the other hand, you'll notice, but wisdom is with those who receive counsel. There are those that will take in counsel. And the niphal stem of that word, take in counsel, means this person allows the action to come to himself. In other words, there are people who want to take in the word of God, they want to take in the counsel of Scripture, and they want to hear so they can make adjustments in their lives. And the person who's taking in counsel, the person who's adding knowledge to himself or herself, is a person who becomes skillful and crafty and wise, and this person becomes one of wisdom. That's what the text says. But wisdom is with those who receive counsel. In other words, a wise person is a teachable person when it comes to the truth of God. This person wants to take instruction in. That's part of wisdom. And then once the person sees what the Word of God is actually saying, this person wants to make adjustments in life and get on a path of wisdom so that one can experience marvelous blessings of God. See, there's a big difference here between a foolish person and a wise person. A wise person, boy, wants to learn. A wise person wants to grow. A wise person wants to know what's right and true. Not pretend stuff. But the fool isn't interested in that, and the fool is one who is a cause of big problems. Now, the fifth subject that Solomon brings out is the method of attaining wealth will determine how long it will last. Verse 11, wealth obtained by fraud dwindles, but the one who gathers by labor increases it. Now, again, the proverb is very important and interesting because primarily Solomon is setting forth that there are two basic ways to accumulate things, one by fraud, the other by hard work. Two simple ways in Proverbs to accumulate things. One is by fraudulent means and the other is by hard work. And that word fraud is a word that indicates that it's some means that isn't legitimate. It's not right. It's not in accordance with the word of God. And when it says it dwindles, it comes to nothing. I mean, ultimately a person may for a brief period of time get something fraudulently, but in the end, it won't last, it won't stand. But on the other hand, you have the person who's working at it, they're working hard at what they're doing, they're trying to do the best they can at the job they do, they're laboring, and God says, I'll bless that. That's the mark of wisdom. Someone does their work, they take it seriously, and they try to do it. I'll multiply that. That's the point he's trying to make. Now that principle can be applied to a whole lot of areas of life. We can apply that to any area of life. There's no simple way to success. It's hard work, consistent work, dedicated work. That shows up. That theme is over and over again in the book of Proverbs. There's no quick way to, for example, to lose weight. Let's start there physically. Now, you can't lose weight quickly. It's going to take work. It's that simple. I mean, I know that these people promise that you can do this quickly. It isn't going to work. I mean, it might for a minute, but then there'll be setbacks to that. So if you want to get at it, you have to get going at it. I mean, that's just what it's going to take. It's consistency that has to be there. That comes also with earning good grades. There's no simple, in my opinion, formula for earning good grades. You have to work at it. If you want to earn a good grade, you have to study. I mean, you have to prepare. That's the only way to get the good grade. I mean, now you can sit there and mystically think that I'm going to pray and God's going to somehow bring this into my brain. It just didn't work that way for me. I mean, it takes hours of preparation to take the exam and write the exam. If you're going to go after a good grade, that's what it's going to take. It's true when it comes to business. I mean, if you're going to be skilled at what you do, If you're going to succeed at what you do, you have to work at what you do. I mean, there's no getting around this principle, and it certainly is true when it comes to spirituality. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this to me is a very, very important principle to learn here in verse 11. Because many people believe that there are these little shortcuts that they can take to spiritual success and spiritual depth. And there are many people who are always looking for some quick, easy way to become spiritual. And they want to somehow tap into some fast road to spirituality. And they think that they can do it, for example, by going to some overnight seminar. Or they think that they can accomplish it by going to even one week of special services. And then you have another group that says, you know what, let's go to work on understanding the Bible. Let's go to work on understanding all 66 books that God put in print. Now I ask you this question. Which do you think will reach the goal? The group that says, let's do it the quickest way that we can figure out and manipulate, humanly speaking, or let's tackle the entire Word of God step by step, book by book, doctrine by doctrine? What do you think it is that will ultimately produce the depth level? What do you think it is that will ultimately give increase? It's the one who works hard at understanding the Word of God. It's not the quick, simple way. It takes work. And to be honest with you, I get very leery about quick fix, success-oriented challenges. Because very rarely do those work. Usually there's careful planning and preparation, and it takes time and work and effort and energy. It isn't too many times that the quick, simple, band-aid way is the way to go. Which brings us to Solomon's final point in this proverb, and that is, the one who has dreams come true is the one who will be healthy and refreshed. Notice verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is the tree of life. Now, let's put this all in the context of what Solomon's talking about. Let's not take the verse away from its context. What he's basically saying here is God allows wonderful things to happen to those who are righteous, those who are not pretenders, those who are just going after it, those that are working at it, those that are on a right path of righteousness. God allows good things to happen. The righteous people have hopes, and oftentimes those hopes come true. And that word hope refers to expectations. The point is, when one is on a path of righteousness, there are a lot of things that are fulfilled from being on that wonderful life path. On the other hand, when one is off that path, one is doing things that ultimately damage the heart. And one gets on a path of a fool, one is going to discover that a lot of things that were longed for, a lot of things that were looked for aren't there, and they're not happening because it was not the path of wisdom. Now, I believe that what Solomon was really after here in this little section of Proverbs was to communicate to Israel, to his sons, and to us, the important principle of you be honest, righteous, wise people who are real. Do not be a bunch of phony pretenders. Understand where you're at. Go to work on that. Make adjustments in light of Scripture. And let God let us allow the Lord to lead us to blessing. I think that's the point that he's trying to make. And he's basically saying when you're on that path, you're on the path of blessing. Because that's where you'll find joy. That's where you'll shine bright for the Lord. And that's where we're going to accomplish things for God. So a wise, righteous person is one who doesn't pretend. He's not proud. He's one who works hard at it. That's the one that ends up the winner. I mean, in the mind of God. There can be these little short moments where people show up briefly and their lamp shines for a moment, but it goes out. But not the one who's pursuing a path of wisdom. Any questions or comments about this proverb that we've looked at this evening?